Cirrus executives view the 2009 glass as half full. The Defense Forces of Bahrain get their first Black Hawk. And a hangar home resident in Texas survives a big fire. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 8th, 2009. 2009 won't be remembered as a good year by many airframe manufacturers, but officials at Cirrus Aircraft say the company's market share has grown in each of the first three quarters. Cirrus reports its SR-20, SR-22, and Turbo models have accounted for 189 shipments year-to-date, or 32% of all tricycle gear piston airplanes reported sold by Gamma. 68 Cirrus planes were shipped in the third quarter. The Cirrus SR-22 claims the title of the world's best-selling single-engine piston airplane for the seventh consecutive year. Cirrus VP of Marketing Todd Simmons says there are encouraging signs in the economy. Quote, "Our product enhancements for new aircraft, robust activity in our pre-owned business, and price discipline in both new and used markets are making a real difference. Generous depreciation rules for 2009 domestically, the expiration of the value-added tax exemption in Europe at year-end, and a recovering overall economy have the fourth quarter shaping up as the strongest quarter of 2009 for both orders and deliveries at Cirrus," unquote. Sikorsky celebrated the formal delivery of a UH-60M Black Hawk helicopter to the Defense Forces of Bahrain last week. It's the first of nine to be delivered to the first Black Hawk squadron to be operated by an international military organization. The Royal Bahrain Air Force will fly the aircraft for military operations that include protection of sovereign borders, as well as protection and defense of U.S. and coalition strategic facilities. The aircraft are being completed at Sikorsky's Military Derivatives Completion Center in Horseheads, New York. Deliveries are scheduled to continue into next year. The UH-60M is a twin-engine, medium-lift utility helicopter designed to a U.S. Army requirement to carry an 11-man squad and 4-man crew under combat conditions. Sikorsky has been manufacturing the Black Hawk for the Army since 1978. Several aircraft and vehicles are reported lost and one person injured in a late-morning Sunday fire that completely destroyed a hangar home at Hooks Airport in Harris County, Texas. Most of the two-story facility collapsed during the blaze. Houston's KPRC-TV reports that 68-year-old Del Martin owned the hangar and suffered first and second-degree burns during the fire. Water was pulled from the seaplane landing strip by firefighters because the nearest hydrant was over 2 miles away. The Harris County Fire Marshal's Office will lead the investigation into the cause. Up next on ANN, it's time to start looking back on the best of 2009. Augusta Westland delivers two more choppers to China, and a Cheyenne pilot may be the latest stall spin victim. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 8th. I'm Paul Plack. ANN is officially seeking your input for our upcoming Best Aircraft and Products of 2009. The economy slowed down the release of all new hardware this year, but there were plenty of really nice upgrades to be considered as well. There are also categories for people in aviation. Check out the categories and the guidelines in the text version of this story, dated December 7th at aero-news.net. Relatives have identified the pilot who went down in a heavily wooded area near Harrison, Michigan, Friday night. 58-year-old Jerry Bergdorfer was flying a Piper Cheyenne 2 from Seneca County to Cherry Capital Airport. Local police say Minneapolis Center radioed an altitude alert to the aircraft before the crash. A 911 call from an onlooker reported the plane, quote, was going down and was spinning and spinning and spinning, unquote. The Advertiser Tribune reports Bergdorfer worked for Tiffin Air and had been flying for more than 18 years. He was also known as a grandfather and charter boat captain on Lake Erie. The NTSB is investigating. Augusta Westland reports it delivered two grand light twin helicopters to the Maritime Safety Administration of China during an official ceremony in Italy on Thursday. The MSA is responsible for monitoring all inland and coastal waters and will use the helos to control and fight water pollution. The contract also includes an option for an additional 2 aircraft to be exercised next year. Giuseppe Orsi, Augusta Westland's CEO, says he's delighted. Quote, as additional vessels on order are completed for the MSA, further expansion of its helicopter fleet will be required, and we are committed to offering the best solutions to meet future customer requirements, unquote. The company says the Grand was chosen for its operational capabilities and performance in the maritime role. Augusta Westland has already sold almost 30 helicopters in China and sees growing future business opportunities there. Still ahead, troops in Afghanistan and Iraq are getting broadband. Neil Armstrong celebrates an airport reopening. And here's why you might not want to fly if you're 8 months pregnant. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 8th. I'm Paul Platt. Following several days of weather delays, a new configuration of the Delta IV rocket left its Florida launch pad Saturday night, carrying a next-generation Air Force satellite. The success is a milestone for the United Launch Alliance, a 2006 joint venture between Lockheed and Boeing. ULA had never flown this specific configuration of the rocket, with a larger 5-meter payload shroud and total of 4 strap-on boosters. The payload was the third WGS, or Wideband Global Satcom spacecraft, a $300 million 6-ton satellite. There are a total of 6 satellites being developed by defense departments in the U.S. and Australia as part of a new high-capacity communication system. WGS replaces the current defense satellite communication system that has been in operation for more than 2 decades. Troops in Afghanistan and Iraq are already benefiting from vast improvements in bandwidth provided by the 2 WGS spacecraft already in orbit, including downloads of up to 2.4 gigabits per second. Air Force Major Mark Hadley, a deputy program manager, says that's about 10 times the data rate previously available. Quote, it really is a game changer, unquote. Retired NASA astronaut Neil Armstrong, the first man to set foot on the moon, has spent the 40 years since his historic achievement shunning publicity. But he's always been a supporter of the community around his second home in Telluride, Colorado, and officials there have convinced him to be their guest of honor for the reopening of the Telluride Regional Airport. Following the completion of a $22 million runway renovation, the airport is scheduled to reopen on Thursday, December 17th. Armstrong will officially reopen the airport when he steps from a plane onto the tarmac to cut the ceremonial ribbon. A short press conference will follow, along with media tours, and a private invitation-only cocktail reception will take place that evening. Telluride Regional sits atop Deep Creek Mesa and is North America's highest commercial airport at 9,070 feet MSL. The Department of Homeland Security may not think model rocketry is very important, but NASA still does. The agency has issued a challenge to students: design and build powerful vehicles capable of reaching 1 mile in altitude, complete with a working science payload. The list of 37 teams invited to compete in this school year's NASA student launch projects includes 14 middle and high school teams and 23 university teams. Teams from middle and high schools are eligible to participate in the student launch initiative for up to 2 years. Each receives a grant of $3,700 and a travel stipend from NASA their first year, and an additional $2,450 grant if they qualify a second time. To qualify for an invitation from the space agency, teams must place highly in regional competitions, the Rockets for Schools competition in Wisconsin, or the Team America Rocketry Challenge in Virginia. University teams submit proposals directly to NASA for evaluation and selection. They get no money from NASA. Instead, they have to seek funding directly from their state's Space Grant Consortium. ATK Space Systems of Magna, Utah, contributes prizes to the event, including a $5,000 check for the first-place university team. The final launch competitions will be held at Bragg Farms in Tony, Alabama, near the Marshall Space Flight Center. And finally today, frequent flyers on Southwest Airlines know to expect interesting things to be announced over the PA by the cabin crew. But is there a doctor on board was no joke Friday on flight 441 from Chicago Midway to Salt Lake City. Internal medicine specialist Dr. John Saran heeded the call and assisted the crew in delivering a baby boy after a fellow passenger on the flight went into unexpected and extremely short labor. Captain Gary Jesperson quickly diverted to Denver, but the official passenger count had climbed from 121 to 122 before they could reach the ground. The flight attendants worked with Dr. Saran to set up a delivery area in the rear of the 737 using whatever they could find, including the headrest from a flight attendant's jump seat, passenger blankets, a pair of kid scissors, and a set of shoelaces to tie off the umbilical cord. The baby appeared less than 15 minutes later after only two or three pushes. Unlike many other flights you've been on with babies, when this one started crying, passengers started applauding and cheering. IdahoStatesman.com quotes First Officer Seth Copenhaver as stating, quote, "That's the best emergency I've ever had," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation is back to tackle the issue of federal subsidies to help you buy the equipment you'll need for next-gen ATC. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.